Hey there, agility friend. If you've listened to a few of my podcast episodes, you know that I'm a huge fan of something called growth mindset. You can have access to the best instruction in the world, and you can have the best dog in the world, and the best skills in the world, but if you don't have a solid mindset and approach to the challenges that sport and life are going to toss your way, you're not going to be able to really make the most of all of those bests that you have, you know, best instruction, best dog, best skills, all that stuff. I'm so passionate about the importance of our mindset when it comes to dog agility and really everything in life that I've written an ebook about growth versus fixed mindset, what the hallmarks of those two mindsets are, and how one can really propel you along your agility journey and one may really be holding you back, maybe without you even being aware of it. That ebook is not for sale anywhere, but it is available for free to subscribers of my email list. So if you're curious about what a growth mindset is, what a fixed mindset is, and how to ensure that you've got the right mindset for making the most of your dog agility training and handling journey, head to podcast.theagilitychallenge.com and scroll down till you see the link to subscribe to my email list and get that ebook. It's totally free and it's a game changer. Check it out today at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com.
The idea that talented handlers get their skill by following their natural instincts is baloney. Now, this is good news for all of us because there's no such thing as natural instinct for dog agility. All improvement is about absorbing and applying new information, and the best source of information is top performers. So steal it. And again, this is from The Little Book of Talent by Daniel Coyle. Now, Coyle points out that stealing has had a long tradition in a variety of pursuits, art, sports, design, and that we often soften the idea that things have been stolen by saying our own work has been influenced by the work of others. Pablo Picasso has been quoted, now he's not the only one who has said this, but he has been quoted as saying, "Good artists borrow, great artists steal." When looking at talent hotbeds, Coyle found this again and again. The director of a music talent hotbed even told him, "You got to steal like crazy. Look at every single performer better than you and see what they've got that you can use, then make it your own." He also found some interesting trends with regard to talent and suspects that these trends allow for more opportunity for theft and therefore greater opportunity to develop talent. So, for example, on his website, which I've linked to below, Coyle asks us to consider what he calls the Michael Jackson law. And this is the rule that the most talented performer in a family music group will often be amongst or be the youngest. So consider the most talented Bee Gee was Andy, the youngest. Some of you probably don't even know who the Bee Gees are. The most talented Jonas brother, Nick, the youngest. The most talented Hanson brother, Zach, the youngest. The most talented Andrew's sister, Patty, the youngest. Also, Mozart and Bach were the babies of their families. Coyle suggests that in addition to having more material to watch and to imprint on their minds in the form of their older siblings, the younger siblings have more material to steal, test out, and make their own. In fact, he suggests that one of the talents that great performers all seem to share is their ability to steal. He says, quote, "Most top performers tend to be incorrigible thieves, relentlessly on the prowl for new ideas, methods, and techniques. You might even say that stealing is their greatest talent." When you steal, focus on specifics rather than general impressions. So capture concrete facts, the location of a handler relative to her dog on course during a specific handling move, or the particular angle of a handler's arm as she's rotating toward her dog to cue collection, or perhaps the angle of a handler's legs and the positioning of his feet as he executes a front cross. And in each case, ask yourself, what exactly are the critical moves here? And how does this top performer perform those moves differently than I do? Now, I've already put forth in previous tips that you should watch the performances of top performers intently and regularly to imprint those performances on your mind, as well as to inspire you to really dig deeper with your training and practice. And the first tip of the year that I gave you was to put together a notebook so that you could keep track of your performances and plan for the future. So here are some more ideas for effective thievery. First, try to steal one good idea every day and write it in your notebook. Now I know you guys are probably thinking, oh, stealing, can't we use a different word? It's okay, just bear with me. Keep track of which ideas work for you and which ones don't. And then don't limit your thievery to agility. Look for top performers in other dog sports and be prepared to take their good ideas as well. Maybe look to a top rally obedience performer for ideas to improve your agility footwork. Or look at a top obedience performer for ideas to improve your training for sit stays, go outs, and recalls. Look to a top herding performer for ideas on how to train your dog to respond to verbal directionals at a distance. I've learned a ton in the last few years from top Schutzhund, IGP, IPO, Mondial Ring, whatever you want to call it, the ring sports. I've learned a ton about motivation, drive, and structure for toy play from those particular folks. And then finally, ask. Most top performers are happy to talk about their training and handling methods and techniques. If you're in a position to ask some questions, ask them. Now, of course, I'm not advocating stealing another instructor's lesson plans and reteaching them for yourself wholesale. There are definitely some considerations, and there's a line we should all be careful about crossing. It's one thing to steal ideas to improve our own performances, and it's another to entirely steal ideas, market them as our own without attributing credit to who we stole those ideas from, and then profit off of them. So it can be pretty tricky. But the point is, it's okay to copy top performers, and it's okay to do what they're doing to improve your own handling and training. There's no shame in being honest about not having come up with something for yourself. If somebody asks me where I learned a particular move or where I got some particular information, I'm going to tell them. It doesn't matter to me whether or not I was the originator of an idea, because if it helps my performances or if it helps my dog's understanding of the tasks I'm asking them to do, then I'm going to take that idea and fold it into my own stuff. And if I really understand all of the parts of that idea and why it works the way it does, then I can really tweak it to fit into with my own physical and mental abilities and those of my dog and really make it my own. And that's where the magic is. So what are your thoughts on this particular agility challenge tip? I'd love to hear them in the comments below. And this is a short one, so that's it until next week.
Thanks for joining me on the Agility Challenge podcast with Daisy Peel. If you'd like to take your agility training, handling, and mental game to the next level, check out that ebook that I mentioned at the top of the episode. You can get it for free at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com. It's not for sale anywhere, and it's only available to subscribers of my email list. Getting on board with the right mindset when it comes to your dog agility handling and training challenges is a game changer. So make sure you check it out.